In the Supreme.
In the Supreme.
Kala.
Kala.
Time.
Time.
Mayayo.
Mayayo.
Of the material energy.
Of the material energy.
Ramita.
Ramita.
Enjoys.
Enjoys.
Gata Samoha.
Gata Samoha.
Being freed from the misconception.
Being
free from
the misconception.
Tyatva.
Tyatva.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Udaste.
Udaste.
In fullness.
In fullness.
Tada.
Tada.
Then.
Then.
Ubayam.
Ubayam.
Both.
Both.
The misconceptions of I and mine.
The misconceptions of I and mine.
Translation. As soon as a living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Again, as soon as a living entity becomes situated in its constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Report. Two misconceptions of life, namely I and mine, are verily manifested in two classes of men. In the lower state, the conception of mine is very prominent. And in a higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. In the animal state of life, the misconception of mine is perceivable even in the category of cats and dogs, who fight with one another with the same misconception of mine. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is also prominent. In the shape of, it is my body, it is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And in the higher stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mine is transformed into I am, or it is all I am, etc. There are many classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mine in different colors. But the real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of I am the eternal servant of the Lord. This is pure consciousness. And the whole Vedic literatures teach us this conception of life. The misconception of I am the Lord, or I am the Supreme, is more dangerous than the misconception of mine, although there are sometimes directions in the Vedic literatures to think oneself one with the Lord. It does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every respect. Undoubtedly there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many respects, but ultimately the living entity is subordinate to the Lord, and he is constitutionally meant for satisfying the senses of the Lord. The Lord therefore asks the conditioned souls to surrender unto him. Has the living entity not been subordinate to the Supreme Lord? Why would the living entity be asked to surrender? Had the living being been equal in all respects, then why was it put under the influence of Maya? We've already discussed many times that the material energy is controlled by the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita 9.10 confirms this controlling power of the Lord over the material nature. Can a living entity who claims to be as good as the Supreme Being control the material nature? The foolish I would reply that he will do so in the future. Even accepting that in the future one will be as good a controller of material nature as the Supreme Being, then why is one now under the control of material nature? The Bhagavad Gita says that one can be freed from the control of the material nature by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. But if there is no surrender, then the living entity will never be able to control the material nature. So So one must also give up this misconception of I by practicing the way of devotional service, or firmly being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A poor man without any employment or occupation may undergo so many troubles in life. But if by chance the same man gets a good service under the government, he at once becomes happy. There is no profit in denying the supremacy of the Lord, who is the controller of all energies. But one should be constitutionally situated in one's own glory, namely to be situated in the pure consciousness of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. In his conditional life, the living entity is servant of the illusory mind, and in his liberated state, he is the pure, unqualified servant of the Lord. To become untinged by the modes of material nature is the qualification for entering into the service of the Lord. As long as one is a servant of mental concoctions, one cannot be completely free from the disease of eye and mind. The Supreme Truth is uncontaminated by the illusory energy because he is the controller of that energy. The relative truths are apt to be engrossed in illusory energy. The best purpose is served, however, when one is directly facing the Supreme Truth, as when one faces the sun. The sun overhead in the sky is full of light, but when the sun is not in the suitable sky, all is in darkness. Similarly, when one is face to face with the Supreme Lord, he is free from all illusions, and one who is not so is in the darkness of illusory maya. The Bhagavad Gita 14:26 confirms this as follows: Mam chayo vyavichari na bhakti yogi vasevate sagunam samatityayatam dhamadu yaya prapate. So the science of bhakti yoga, of worshipping the Lord, glorifying the Lord, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source, not from a professional man, but from a person who is Bhagavatam in life, and being always in the association of pure devotees, should be adopted in earnestness. One should not be misled by misconceptions of I and mine. The karmis are fond of the conception of mind. The gyanis are fond of the conception of I, and both of them are unqualified to be free from the bondage of losing energy. Srimad Bhagavatam and primarily the Bhagavad Gita are both meant for delivering a person from the misconception of I and mine. And Srila Vyasadeva transcribed that for the deliverance of the fallen souls. The living entity has to be situated in the transcendental position, where there is no more influence of time nor of the material energy. In conditioned life, the living entity is subjected to the influence of time and the dream of past, present, and future. The mental speculator tries to conquer the influence of time by future speculations of becoming Vasudev or the Supreme Lord himself, by means of culturing knowledge and conquering over ego. But the process is not perfect. The perfect process is to accept Lord Vasudev as the supreme of everything, and the best perfection in culturing knowledge is to surrender unto him, because he is the source of everything. Only in that conception can one get rid of the misconception of I and mine. Both Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam confirm it. Srila Vyasadeva specifically contributed to the illusion living entities, the science of love, and the process of bhakti yoga in his great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the conditioned soul should fully take advantage of this great science. Yardi Bhava Mayuni Sri Parasman Kal Mayuni Ramita Dhatta Samuhas. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in this constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, it once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Om Agyanita Manandasya Ganandanasya Chakshu Kurminitam Yantasma Shigura Vendraha Mukham Karoti Vashino Angam Mangaya Tegandu Yatri Patamaham Mande Shigandhanitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Vipulay Shimati Bhakti Vinata Sama Kilani Namaste, Sarasvati Devi Guru Manipacharya, Yudhishesha Chandra, Sachari Sutani, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Vaidhi Gadara, Sri Vasudhi Guru Manipacharya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this verse describes the two misconceptions of materialistic life. Janasya Mamonya Mahamanit. But the Shabda prescribes Punsasya Matuni Pavnita. Kayora Tavili Dhanti Maha. Dovriya Chaitya Sutata. Vittaya Janasya Mamonya Mahamanit. This verse, of course, describes the basic principle of material existence, which is the attraction between the male and female. It's the basic principle of material existence, which ties together the hearts of the male and female. As one becomes increasingly attached in this way to his body, to his wealth, to his family, friends, society, in this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So Lord Vishabhya describes this as the basic principle of material existence. Also, the characteristic of thinking I and mine. And you lose your energy. Vulajamanasya yasya is described also in this canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. And thus, she's always bewildering those who absorb in thoughts of I and mine. They always speak nonsense because they absorb in this thought. Whatever they say is nonsense, according to Sukadeva Goswami, because they are always absorbed in thoughts of I and mine. So this verse says, the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. So, she stands behind the Supreme Lord. She's ashamed of her position and having to bewilder everybody by such false conceptions of life and I and mine. And therefore, being situated in that conditioned state of mentality, they are bewildered, in a bewildered state. They do not know their actual identity. Prabhupada so many times emphasizes this point in all his lectures. So many of his lectures. While the living entity is in a bewildered state, he doesn't know his actual identity. Yet, he utilizes this word, I, speaking about it from completely under the influence of the illusory energy, and doesn't even know himself. And Prabhupada was just recently listening to one lecture, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the other day. Prabhupada was talking about Sanatana Goswami, when he submitted himself before Lord Chaitanya. Sanatana Goswami took the position. Although he was such a scholar, could speak so many languages, he was respected by everyone, a very highly prestigious position in society. Yet, when he came to Lord Chaitanya and took shelter, he submitted himself before the Lord and said, "Who am I? Kayami." Everyone thinks of this about me. They say I'm a scholar, I'm learned, but I don't even know who I am. Therefore, his first question is, please, you tell me who am I? And why do I have to suffer these threefold miseries of life? This is Sanatana Goswami's position, submitting himself before the Lord. Prabhupada was speaking about this in the lecture, quoting Sanatana Goswami, describing how he was the most intelligent person. Most intelligent person. Because it's fine.
Huh? He wants you to lift the monk.
But it's fine. What's the matter? Yeah. Now I see my own boy. So he asked, who am I? Why do I have to be subjected to these threefold miseries in life? course, Lord Chaitanya's answer was very simple and complete. Jivera Surupaya Krishna Nichidas Krishna Tatasha Shakti Veda Veda Prakash, that the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. This is his actual eternal identity. It's an identity which he has even in his conditional state, but the result of being bewildered by material nature is forgotten. That is the symptom of his bewilderment. Therefore, the verse in the Bhagavatam states that such persons are always illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, just being ashamed of the position. But he always bewilders everybody. And because of being bewildered, they're always speaking so much nonsense. What do they speak? I am this. The Prophet quotes that here in this verse, the various descriptions. It is my body, it is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And the higher stage he describes the same misconception of mind is transformed into I am, it is all I am, etc. So he says there are many men, classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mine in different colors. The real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of I am the eternal servant of the Lord. Transformation. One does not give up the I, and Prabhupada specifically mentions that point here in the commentary of the impersonals. They have another type of misconception. They say the misconception of I am the Lord, or I am the Supreme, is more dangerous than the misconception of mine. They think that I am equal with the Supreme. I am one with God. That is, I am God. When the curtains open on the altar, that's me. So is it for a lot of them, that's what I'm saying. It's in class in Hartford. And Prabhupada says, of course, this is, of course, another symptom of a person who is bewildered. They always speak nonsense, right? They think, I am God. And Prabhupada therefore challenges them. Says, well, if you say that you are God, then how is it that, or you will become God, how is it you have ever come to the platform, not being God now, but will become God in the future? This is their foolishness, the symptom of their speaking nonsense. They cannot answer that question. Prabhupada explained to him. They say that you become God, but you're not God now. So what is it that's, if you're God, the most powerful controller of everything, then how is it that you forgot that you're God? They cannot answer that question. The way they answer, they say, it's my pastime. That's the thing. My pastime to forget, so that I can forget. So therefore, pastime means enjoyment. So now you are enjoying it. This is your pastime of enjoyment. Look at you. Your teeth are rotting out. You're getting older. Your hair is getting gray. You're losing your hair. You're becoming so diseased. This is enjoyment. This is pastime. This is going to happen to you. Krishna, he's an eternal fresh youth. He has pastimes. He enjoys eternally. But his body is never subject to decay. Never such subject to change. Therefore, Krishna, he can say, I am Krishna. He is Aham Savasya Pabhava, I am the source of the material and spiritual world. Patakparatana Namyat, Kinshidasti Dhananjaya, there is no truth superior to me. Krishna can say that. Can you say that? Of course not. But yet, they say that I am the Supreme Lord. So, how is it that you are enjoying this Leela? Prophet says, if you want to enjoy Leela, then enjoy my boot in your face. Here. This is, why are you stopping me? Enjoy it. Prabhupada says, this is my boot. Take it. Enjoy it. This is your pastime. If you try to stop me from kicking you, why? Prabhupada, so many different challenges he would make to show how they speak nonsense. They speak nonsense to so many people. They accept it because they want to become God. They want to think themselves equal to the Supreme. The Prophet describes as another characteristic of bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, and therefore such persons continue to speak their nonsense, and even at this stage of their misconception, everything they say is simply totally nonsense, because the living entity can never become the Lord. Mayadish, Mayavashish, Redijin, and Vedin. That the Lord is, He is Mayadish. Mayadish means that He is always the controlling of Maya. The Prophet quotes that verse right here. We've already discussed many times that the material energy is controlled by the Lord. Mayadakshina Prakriti, Suyate Sacharachala. Krishna says, material nature is working under my direction, it's producing all moving and non-moving beings. The Maya is under Krishna's control. And Krishna never comes under the influence of this illusory energy of the Lord. But you are Mayavash. Mayavash means that the living entity comes under the control of Lord's Maya, material energy. And how does he become free from the control of the Lord's material energy? He's not God. He can't free himself from the grips and the clutches of Maya. And therefore, it is always clearly made the challenge that if you're under the control, you cannot become free, delivered from the clutches of the fool. How will you stop your death? How will you stop it from growing old? How will you stop it from becoming diseased? If you want to stop it, then stop it now. But they can't stop it. You can't. The Prophet was challenging this thing. If you want to become free, then you have to take shelter of Krishna, because Krishna is the controller of mind. Daiviyeshit unamaya, mama maya vodati. Mama vodati, maya vodati. The divine nature of mind. Mama mind. It's the mind nature of mind. It's very difficult to overcome. Consisting of the three modes of material nature. Very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross the other. So therefore, Krishna makes it clear that I will deliver you. Aham sabhasa kavala matasinam. Saravadana kuryatija mamitam sharanam prasam. Krishna says, granted all varieties of religion, surrender to me, I will deliver you from sinful reactions to my fear. I will remove the obstacles along your path. Ananyas chintayantoma yejana payupashite tesha nitya viyotana yoga kshema vahamya. Meditate upon me, I will give you everything that you have, and I will carry everything that you lack. Krishna in so many places describes himself as to be the person who delivers, who gives the strength, who gives the support, that he is the deliverer of the repetition of birth and death. Delivers one from all the reactions of sinful life. Krishna can do it because he is my image. Yeah, he is the controller of life. But the living entities, they must stay under the control of this material energy. And at no point in time can they ever become completely free. Therefore, Lord Brahma, in his prayers, it describes, Yenye Vada Dakshina Mukta Mani Nas Vayasta. What was it? Yenye Vada Dakshina Mukta Mani Nas Vayasta Vada Vashuta Buddhya. Yenye. I'm losing my memory of all these verses. Can anyone help me? Yenye Vada Dakshina Mukta Mani Nas Vayasta Vada Vashuta Buddhya. Aruya Krishna Param Padam Tata Patanti Ramadha Padusma Dandriya. Yes. Aruya Krishna. But these such persons, they perform severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position, but their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority. Why? Because they did not take shelter of my lotus feet. Whatever position they achieve, whether it is they go to the highest planet in the material world or the lowest planet, or whether they achieve liberation. Right? Krishna says, or Lord Brahma describes that such persons, even they achieve liberation, but what is their liberation? It's vimukta manivas. It is simply they think themselves to be liberated. They will always fall down from that position. They can't stay in that position. It's not permanent shelter for the living being. So whatever situation one is in, whether one is from the highest planet to the lowest planet, whether one actually gets liberation, kalvaya, still that position is temporary. And they have to fall from that position. So the only permanent shelter, as Prabhupada is emphasizing here in this verse, is that one has to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Taking shelter. How to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. How to feel oneself completely dependent upon the Lord. How to constantly pray within one's heart for the determination, the desire to always be situated in the remembrance of the Lord. This is shelter. Dependence. Total dependence on Krishna. And of course, when one becomes dependent upon Krishna, we were just reading the other day in Boston, we were reading teachings of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada was explaining that the position, a person in the material world who is dependent upon another person is in a very unfortunate position. He says it's the utmost sign of misfortune to be totally dependent upon someone else in the material world. He says, but in our position as a devotee of the Lord, to be fully dependent upon the Lord is the most fortunate position. So he says that it's utmost misfortune to be dependent upon somebody else. Why? Because everybody in the material world is a fallible soldier. To become dependent upon somebody in the material world and to become completely dependent upon them means that we'll simply be exploited by them. We see in the material world, sometimes people like it when others become dependent upon them. They can think, yes, just depend upon me, and then I can ask you to do anything I want, and you have to do it because you're so dependent upon me. Right? They use it as a form of control and manipulation in the material world. Therefore, they try to get others to depend upon them, whether individually, like sometimes we see these big autocratic leaders in various societies. They're such autocrats to make everyone totally dependent upon them, bow down to them. They put their pictures all over the place. He is the supreme, and then he always makes it look like that, you know, he is giving them something, providing their necessities. Yeah? So you're dependent upon me. So such persons, to become fully dependent upon somebody who's not a devotee of the Lord is the utmost sign of misfortune, Prabhupada says. Utmost sign of misfortune. Because such persons, they cannot really give shelter. He said, but for a devotee, to be dependent upon the Lord is the most fortunate position. Why? Because when one becomes dependent upon the Lord doesn't use that dependence upon him to control and manipulate. On the contrary, it's just the opposite. When one becomes totally dependent upon the Lord places himself under the control of his devotee. That is the power of being fully dependent upon the Lord. The Lord actually places himself in a subordinate position to the devotee. Therefore, this conception of I and mine that one has within the material world is actually a perverted reflection of the real conception of I and mine in the spiritual world. It's described that the person who is situated in the platform of prema, unalloyed love of God, he is a tadiya. Tadiya means I am Krishna's. And mamatva? Mamatva means Krishna's mind. Krishna belongs to me. A pure devotee situated in the platform of prema, that is how he thinks. Krishna's my friend. He's my friend. Krishna's my lover. Krishna's my son. Try to tell Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's not his son. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan and he spoke to Nanda Maharaj, he said, you know, why are you lamenting? You know, don't you know that your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's the source of entire creation. And Nanda Maharaj says, what are you speaking about, Uddhava? I thought you were Shastriya. I thought you were learned, scholarly. Why are you speaking such in such a way? How can you say Krishna's my son? I mean, God, excuse me, how can you say Krishna's God? Don't you know that Krishna, he carries my shoes on his head? How can God carry my shoes on his head? Bring them to me. How could God do something like that? Don't you know my son is always caught stealing in other people's homes? Why does God need to steal in other people's homes? So why do you say my son is God? All the time, people are coming and complaining, saying, your son Christian comes to my home, steals butter, steals everything, takes all the contents from the pot. My son is stealing, he's a thief. So why would God need to steal? And by God, he cries. He laments in so many different ways. Why does God need to lament? Uda, please, don't say such a thing. Try to convince none of us. Krishna is not his son. It's impossible. Because he's absorbed. Krishna is my son. Try to convince Mother Jasoda. Krishna is not his son. When the demigods are throwing petals upon Krishna to return him to the pasture grounds, Mother Jasoda is thinking, how wonderful my son is. The demigods are throwing petals upon him. She doesn't become struck by awe and thinking, wow, what kind of person is my son? The demigod is throwing petals upon him. She just thinks, it's so wonderful. My son. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if the mother has a son who's the president of the United States or president, a powerful king, still, the mother's always thinking, that's my son. So in the same way, Mother Jasoda is always thinking of Krishna. That's my son. This is Mamatva. Mine. This is real. My consciousness. Krishna belongs to me. He's my son. He's dependent upon me. I have to protect him. If I don't protect him, if I don't offer prayers for his protection every morning before he goes out to the pasturing ground, I offer all the different directions. I'm chanting the names of Narayana to protect my son, because every time he goes out to the forest, something always happens to him. Some demon comes, or somehow or other comes. He appears to be threatened, so I have to protect him. That's my son. I'm just sort of thinking, I have to protect him. If I don't protect him, then who will protect him? So she prays in this way. And even when it's described in one prayer, when Krishna was walking through the two trees, he knocked the two trees down, the demigods, Nala Kulera and Kulera were first to take birth of trees, the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj's home, right? And Mother Jasoda, when she saw this whole incident happen, she said, the reason why that happened is because, she said, Nanda Maharaj and I are always praying for Krishna's protection, therefore Krishna was protected. Right. Same thing when Putana, the witch, when Mother Jasoda found Krishna lying on the chest of Putana, she's thinking, because Nanda Maharaj and I, we are praying for his protection, therefore nothing happened to him. Therefore she thinks, we're praying to Narayana. Narayana is the Supreme Lord. It's Krishna, my son. Nothing else. So that is real mind. This is the situation of those who are fully situated in the platform of the Lord's samvit potency. Samvit potency means knowledge, which is actually sambandha. We talked about sambandha yesterday, means relationship. What is this relationship? Relationship in the spiritual world? Relationship in the spiritual world means that Krishna is my friend. Lord Balaram thinks Krishna is my friend. Mother Jasoda thinks Krishna is my son. Radharani thinks Krishna is my lover. This is sambandha. This is relationship. One who's actually under the Lord's internal potencies, or sambit potency. Of Krishna, he is the predominating of this sambit potency. And Lord Balaram, he is the predominating deity of the sandhini potency. And Srimati Radharani, she is the predominating deity of the Lord's ladini potency, pleasure potency. These are three internal potencies by which the means by which the Lord enjoys. So Lord Balaram, he creates the spiritual world. Everything is coming from Lord Balaram. All the cowherd boys and all the residents of Vrindavan, they are all expansions of Lord Balaram, coming from the sandini potency. Lord Balaram expands into the Lord's shoes, into the Lord's sitting place, into the Lord's umbrella, Lord's sacred thread. He serves the Lord in this way, in his pastimes. And Krishna is the predominating deity with some deep potency. And Radharani, she is the predominating deity with Lord's pleasure potency. She gives pleasure to the Lord. And her expansions, they're all different expansions, all these different gopis and the goddesses of fortune, they're all simply expansions of Srimati Radharani. We are her Kayastha. That's not Kayastha. What is it?
Their word.
Yeah? Anyways, describe here expansion of the Srimati Radharani. So, this is, of course, this is the real conception of I and mine. Padi. Padiya. Padiya means I belong to Krishna. That is one conception. Everything is mine. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his prayers, Krishna is his my wealth, my family, my home, everything belongs to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. Everything belongs to him. And therefore it's described that if we actually want to become Krishna, we actually have to associate with that which is Padiya, that which belongs to Krishna. What is Krishna's Padiya? Krishna's devotees is Krishna's his Padiya. Right? Tulsi Devi is Krishna's Padiya. Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's Padiya. Right? Ganga Devi, Krishna's Padiya. We associate with them because they are Krishna, they belong to Krishna. We actually, by coming in contact with them, we also become an opportunity to become possessed by the Lord. By surrendering ourselves to that which is fully possessed by the Lord. Just like Lord Chaitanya would oftentimes say to his devotees, he'd say to Haridas Thakur, Haridas, because of your prayers, because of your unalloyed love for me, you have purchased me by your love, and now I belong to you. And now because I belong to you, you can sell me wherever you like. He would say this to Haridas. You purchased me. I belong to you. So Haridas Thakur, by dint of his intense love for the Lord, he became possessed the Lord. And therefore, because he possessed the Lord, he can give the Lord to others. So this is Padiya. Padiya means that to be possessed by the Lord. And then the Lord gives himself to his devotee. So these are the real conceptions of I and mine, and the conceptions of I and mine which pervade in the material world, which forces the living entity to always speak in such contemplative terms, is simply due to becoming under the influence of the Lord's illusory potency. Therefore, Vlajamanaya Yasya Sata Ikshapate Iksham Sata Ikshapate Vaya. That the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. She stands behind whenever the Lord is present. Krishna Soya Samaya Maya Vakara Yahan Krishna Sahamaya Maya Vakara. If Krishna is like sunshine, Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. Similarly, as soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, immediately the darkness of illusion and the influence of the material energy will vanish. We have to try to overcome these stringent laws of material nature simply. And the only way to become free from this false conception of I and mine, as Prabhupada so elaborately described in his commentary, is that we have to submit ourselves to the service of the Supreme Lord and realize our constitutional identity is Jivera Sivapoya Krishna and Nitya Das. Krishna Dasya Shakti Nehadeva Prakash. Living at his constitutional position, he is the eternal servant of Krishna. He is the Dasya Shakti, he is the marginal potency of the Lord, who can come under the influence of one or two potencies of the Supreme Lord. Vishnu Shakti Para Prota, Kshetra Gyapratita Para, Avijikama Samyana, Tithya Shakti Vishite. The potencies of the Supreme Lord are summarized in three categories. The superior energy, which is full of knowledge. The living entity that belongs to the superior energy. But he can come under the influence of the Lord's third energy, which is ignorance and is visible in fruitive activities. Therefore, we are Maya Vash. We come under the influence of the Lord's external energy. And if we wish to become free, then the only way to become free from this powerful losing energy of the Lord is, as Prabhupada explained here, is that we have to take shelter. Pray to take shelter. We chant the holy names of the Lord as an attempt to come under the Lord's protection. And Prabhupada quotes the verse, in a different verse. What is that verse? The Mahatmas, the great souls, they are coming under the protection of the Lord's Daivan Prakriti, the Lord's internal potency. This is real protection from the influence of the universal energy. The only way that we can actually be protected from this powerful Maya is we have to come under the protection of the Lord's internal potency. And therefore, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, Prabhupada says it is a prayer for protection. We're praying to the Lord, please protect me from this powerful influence of your lucid energy. It is your energy. Krishna told Brahma that whatever you see of any value that has no connection with me, you should know that it is my lucid energy, or that reflection which appears in the darkness. Anything that you see connected to me, but if you see a value, but you don't see it connected to me, then it's mine. So if you want to become free from mine, we have to take shelter of the Lord. Prayer, or chanting, pray to the Lord, please protect me from the powerful influence of losing energy. Prabhupada one time said the difference between you and me is I will never fall down because I'm afraid of mine. Prabhupada was teaching us. By his example. I won't fall down because I'm afraid. Why? And because I'm always afraid of I'm always depending upon the Lord. I know the power of the Lord, of the illusory energy of the Lord. Being afraid of the illusory energy, I take shelter of the Lord constantly. We have to be fearful. It's a fearful position. We don't realize how dangerous it is to be situated in forgetfulness. Therefore, the devotees pray constantly. What is the safest position? When they pray for something from the Lord, just let me remember you. That is all they pray for. Let me remember you. If I can simply remember you constantly, that is all that I pray. And what else do they pray for? Let me always be in the association of your devotees. Because if I can always be in the association of devotees, how can I forget you? Because your devotees are always talking about you. Therefore they pray. Haridas Thakur, when he achieved that benediction from the Lord, what was he praying for? He was praying to the Lord, oh Lord, I pray, if you're going to give me that benediction, please simply let me take the foodstuffs, the remnants of foodstuffs from your devotees. That is what I pray for. Because and then he apologized. He said, forgive me for speaking in such an arrogant way, for asking something so high, as undeserving as I am for such a high benediction. He spoke in this way. First, he prayed for that benediction because the Lord is insisting, Haridas, ask for me benediction. You must ask. And Haridas said, no. And then finally he said, okay, give me the benediction. Let me have the remnants of foodstuffs and your devotees. And then he said, but forgive me for being so arrogant for asking for something so high. It is my pride. I'm so bold to make such a request from you. Then how we pray. Why? Because the devotee is the power. It's Tadiya. The devotee belongs to the Lord. Like we talked about last night, Jiva Goswami going to every servant of Lord Chaitanya, one by one, taking the dust. Please give me your benediction. You are a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore you belong to the Lord. And because you are a servant of Lord Chaitanya, by your mercy, I'll be able to get the association of Lord Chaitanya. Only the service of Lord Chaitanya can bring us to the service of Lord Chaitanya. So, because you belong to the Lord, and when you ask something, the Lord can't resist, can't refuse. You ask for me, please, you pray for me. You give me some devotional service, give me the opportunity to surrender service to the Lord. Because if you do it, the Lord can't turn away. If I do it, the Lord doesn't look. He never looks at me. But if you do it, the Lord will never turn away. Please, therefore, tell me, give me some service. So this is how Jiva Goswami was approaching every Vaishnava in this way. Because he knew they were, how powerful they were, because they were divine. They belonged to the Lord. This is a prayer for protection. How we should pray in this helpless, dependent way, so that we can ultimately remember the Lord. And the Lord, of course, says, obviously, he states very boldly that I will always protect one who takes shelter of me. I will come under the control. I will give him everything that he wants, everything that he needs. I will provide all his necessities of life. As he told Srivas Thakur, he said, Srivas Thakur said he would tie a rope around his neck and he would drown himself in the Ganga. If after 3 times, after clapping his hands 3 times, he did not have the necessities of life to provide for his family. And Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, what are you saying? How can you make such a statement, not having the necessities of life? Don't you know what I say in the Bhagavad Gita? Another thing that you come on, you do not buy your pastor, take him, this is the Yukhanam, Yoga Chen Mahamiya. He says, even if the goddess of fortune becomes impoverished, I will personally carry everything, all your necessities on my head to your doorstep. You'll never be in need. Lord Chaitanya gave such an assurance. I will give you everything you need. I will always protect you, everything that you need, because you're so fully dependent upon me. That is the Lord's position in relationship to his devotee. He will always protect the soul who surrenders to him. He will always give him everything he needs. And what does the devotee need more than anything else? The opportunity to serve Krishna. That is what he needs. That is the greatest treasure. That is his constant fervent prayer. And because the devotee always prays in this way, the Lord will never neglect such a person who is always praying to the Lord. Please engage him in the devotional service. That is the ultimate necessity. Sitayataka Bhatta Bharishana. No, excuse me. Edana Jovana Putra Parijana Hite Kiyachi Paviti Tire Kamala Dala Dala Jivana Dala Mala Vajana Hari Paviti. Well, son, youth, family, what is there in it? This is a drop of tears in the Lord's sleep, such as his life. Therefore, let me take up the worship of Sri Hari, the only necessity of life. This is the only necessity of life. So this devotional service is our greatest need, it's the greatest necessity. Prabhupada would always say it's the greatest need of the day. Everybody needs to be engaged in devotional service to Krishna. And he would emphasize that if one has Krishna, then everything else, automatically everything else becomes available to him, because Krishna is the source of everything. There's no lack. Everybody simply needs Krishna. And Krishna and devotional service to Krishna, they are being non-different. Anyone can achieve Krishna by obtaining devotional service to Krishna by the mercy of the Lord's devotee. And in this way, he can become free from this influence of I and mine and become a property of the Supreme Lord. So, verse, as soon as the living entity becomes situated in constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time, material energy, he one gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Some questions? Yes.
Yes. Hard for me to understand when we leave the conception of I and mine. Is it when we discover our real self and the real mind thing? Or is there a time where you don't know who you are?
Actually, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurika Kadambini describes the gradual release of the living entity, misconceptions of I and mine, at each stage, how it gradually becomes released from the 8th shower of Madhurya Kadambini. And very, very interesting how he describes from all the way from Shraddha, you know, to Sadhu Sangha, to Vajna Kriya, and Arthi Nivritti. And he describes that the time when he actually becomes fully released, is at the threshold in the stage of Mahabhava, actually. Is that the stage when he becomes? Because at that stage, which is the threshold of prema, at that particular stage, because his heart becomes fully softened by his attachment to the Lord, and then he is completely released from his conceptions. But it still stays here in various ways, lingering all the way up to that stage. I can't give you the whole breakdown. It's there in the very phenomenon.
It becomes more and more subtle.
It becomes more and more subtle. Yeah. More and more subtle, and then it becomes completely obliterated. But when he comes to the stage of bhava, which is the threshold of prema, he becomes situated in his constitutional position. At bhava, what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, the Lord reveals his relationship to the devotee, but at the stage of prema, he is in that relationship with the devotee.
Sarup is bhava.
Mm. Yeah, that realization is revealed in bhava, the relationship. But in prema, he's in that. In that. He's serving the Lord. And therefore, his real perception of I and mine is fully, purely manifested at that stage of pure love of God. So, until then, it lingers in various degrees. But the point is for us to understand is that the way to release ourselves from those misconceptions is we have to reverse what's already taken place. We've reversed our position with the Lord. Now we try to take the position of the Lord that we think in terms of I and mine. Whereas Krishna, I am. Krishna is I, says, I am God and everything belongs to me. That's Krishna's position. He's the only one who can really see I am God and everything belongs to me. But therefore, how do we become gradually purified from that misconception? That we have to become purified from that misconception by devotional service. To serve Krishna, I have to at least try to act according to that designation. I have to do something to please the Lord. I may not be situated purely in 100% devotional service to the Lord. I may not be conscious of Him 24 hours a day, but there's one thing I know. I have to do something, or attempt to do something to please Him. That's how purification begins to take place. And when one thinks in that way, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Sharanagati, you know, that we, another way we have to think that I am Krishna's servant, and everything that I have belongs to Krishna. Yeah? Whatever I have, as soon as we think this is mine, we're in illusion. It's not. Everything belongs to the Lord. Therefore, how do we dovetail that by everything that we have, we use it for the service of the Lord? I will understand that yes, it's Krishna, therefore let me use it for Him. But then we always get caught up until we actually. Therefore, we have to internally cultivate that understanding. We have to internally cultivate that conception. In our home, we have to think that this is Krishna's home, therefore, we install the deity in the center of the home, and everything, whatever. Wealth that we bring in, we offer to the lotus feet of the deity. This is yours, it belongs to you. I'm simply your caretaker. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that in his Bhajan Savasya. He says, Krishna, my home, this is yours, and I am your dog. And I'll simply stand outside your home and I will protect it. When you call me and give me some scraps of food from your devotees, then I will come before you and I will dance. Just like a dog that comes, and sometimes the owner will call the dog, and the dog will come over and tell him all the and scraps of food, and the dog will jump up and dance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let me dance like this. You say, you are the owner, the proprietor of my home, and I'll be the dog standing outside protecting your home. They think, one has to cultivate. He describes that in so many places in Sharanagati. It's one of the characteristics of Sharanagati is that the Lord is my maintainer. Yeah, the Lord is my maintainer. He's maintaining me. I'm not maintaining me. He's maintaining me. It's His house. He's letting me stay here. But it's His house. He's giving me some scraps of food. But whatever he gives us, if I get something off of it, I'll offer it to him.
And even this body belongs to him. So he can do whatever he wants with that body.
Yeah. So we have to pray that way. We have to cultivate it. Mm-hmm. We give up, gradually give up the misconception, which is very ingrained for time immemorial to so many births. It's I and mine. That belongs to me. I am so many different things. I am a great devotee. I am humble.
Not right.
Yeah, we start thinking like that. No. See, that's also. We can become proud thinking I am humble. To see how humble I am. I'd love to show everybody how humble I am. And if everybody sees how humble I am, then they'll serve me.
There's a story about that on the morning walk when I was a disciple. Early in the movement day, around 1970, one disciple said, "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen,
He probably said, "You're the most nothing." Why do you think you're so proud thinking you're the most something? Something like that.
That's very nice. Sort of there's another mantra we could take I belong to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. So I try to always fixate on that and cultivate that as you said in internal meditation every all the time. I belong to Krishna. So I should do something for Krishna. I belong to him all the time. Because there's self therapy. People are like, motivate yourself. Oh, yes, you motivate yourself. Remind yourself that you belong to Krishna.
What was the prophet's quote from the Ramayana? That quote, it says that anyone who simply says, today from this day, Krishna from this day, I am yours. Right? He says, that is how he has to think, has to cultivate that day. From that, then the Lord will accept that from him. From this day, I am yours. I belong to you. From this day on, of course, we may have said it at some time. We forget. Yeah. And therefore, why do we forget? Either because we've committed some offenses or inattentiveness. Yeah. We become a little inattentive in our devotional service and we start thinking, oh, now I've got things down. I'm chanting my rounds every day. I've got my 16 rounds chanted. But if we're even a little inattentive in chanting our rounds, we forget. And we're not cultivating that mood of helpless dependence. So that is described, that inattentiveness in chanting the holy name of the Lord, that is the root cause of all the other offenses in the holy name of the Lord, is inattentiveness. You have to be conscious, helpless. And helpless means like a helpless prayer of dependence. So therefore, if we commit offenses, then the result is, we forget that one day we said, Krishna, from this day on, I'm yours. We forget and we start thinking, now let me, I am yours, but still I have some things that I need to do for myself too. And I know everything I have belongs to you, but, let's go 25, 75. Prabhupada says, he quotes one in the Itkanta of the Bhagavatam. He quotes the verse, Isha Vasa Nidam Saran, Nagkichanja Vikam Jagat. He says, how everything in animate and inanimate belongs to the Lord. He says, one who offers everything to the Lord, and he says, certainly a devotee who offers everything to the Lord takes something. Because what he takes from the Lord is just the Lord's prasadam. He takes what he needs. If he takes what he needs, he says, it's prasadam. But yāva vihita chaturam tavat svatsam dehinam is quoted in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni to Yudhisthira Maharaj says, one who desires more than what he needs is considered to be a thief and deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. Yāva vihita chaturam tavat svatsam dehinam haritam yogu manyita sastenam dandam ahati dandam ahati punished, dandam. Deserves to be punished. One may desire as much wealth necessary to make his body and soul together, but one who desires more than that is considered to be a thief and deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. So Prabhupada says in that commentary in the 8th canto, he says, when one offers everything to the Lord, then certainly he can take what he needs. Because it's prashana. He's already offered it to the Lord. So certainly he can take what he needs. But then, of course, if he takes more than he needs, it becomes dragging down. It's no longer the Lord who provides. The Lord is providing for the agency of his illusory energy. Right? And drags down. Like the verse in the Bhagavatam, the king wearing the crown on his head, you know, he gets dragged down by the weight of his crown. And he thinks he's the king, he has so much possession, that it simply drags him down deeper and deeper, drowns in the ocean of human existence. Alright, well, I guess we can get it. Thank you. Hare Krishna.